You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
To the right side, play action fake to Brown, Lule on a roll, downfield wide open, it's the record for G. Roy Simon. He has caught Milt, and Simon says he's the all-time CFL pass receiving leader. At the four-yard line, 4 yards separating McManus and the Lions from a trip to the Grey Cup. Doesn't get better than this. McManus, end zone, touchdown Lions! BC's going to the Grey Cup!
What's going on, CFL fans? Welcome to episode 142 of the BC Lions Den.ca podcast, brought to you by Metal Rocks, original handmade, one-of-a-kind jewelry made right here in BC. Check out their link on our website to see all the great custom pieces they have to offer. I'm your host, Brian Wawrishan, and I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. As we record this show, the BC Lions are still in a playoff scenario, but even after a three-game winning streak, the team's playoff hopes are hanging by a thread. One Lions loss or one Edmonton Eskimos victory will eliminate the Lions from the postseason quest for the Grey Cup, so the Leos need to run the table and get a lot of help along the way. On this episode, we welcome a player who has been a big part of the Lions' improved play of late. Since arriving back in BC via a trade with the Argos, Sean Lemon has recorded 8 sacks and a forced fumble in 6 games and has helped the overall play of the defensive line as well. Let's bring in Mojo Kemp now and get things started. How's it going, bud?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Brian, thanks for downloading the show, folks. Going good for me, my friend. Going good for me. Got a new car since the last show.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I got myself into a used Prius, and I'm still on the first tank of gas, so but it looks like the mileage is going to be better. And, folks, if you live out in BC, you know what I'm talking about when I say we want better mileage in our cars, for sure.
So is that like a hybrid, part electric, part gas? Or?
Yeah, it's a 2011 and gas and hybrid electric, but you don't plug it in. It does not plug in technology. And so I'm not eligible for the HOV lane when I'm by myself.
Of course.
But it's pretty cool because when me and the wife are riding in the car and you start to go downhill, the engine turns off and you're just riding it on the battery. And we just sit there and go, baby, we're riding for free.
So it charges the battery, I guess, while it's driving.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been pretty cool. There's a couple of little things, right, that you find in a used car that you go, oh, this bugs me, but not too bad. Not too bad at all. And looking forward to, you know, seeing how far the tank goes. And, you know, Brian, you're playing a little hurt tonight. So thanks for plugging through and getting on with the show.
Hey, I'm struggling with a bit of a sinus infection right now. So if my voice sounds funny or I sound like I'm going to start choking, that'll be the reason why. But yes, we are playing hurt, and let's get into it now. So the Lions are on a 3-game winning streak, but thanks to their record before that streak, their playoff hopes remain on thin ice. By the time they play on Saturday, their fate could already be sealed if the Eskimos beat the Ticats in Hamilton on Friday night. But they can only worry about themselves at this point, and the Ticats are pretty good at home, so there's a good chance the Lions will have something to play for when the Argos come to town on Saturday.
Yeah, it was fun, Brian. You know, went down to the game and had a good time. Of course, winning is fun. Winning is fun. I mean, it's not rocket science what you got to do to get fans to come back to the games. You got to win. Just win, baby. And, you know, I think I thought we were out last game, so I'm glad to hear that we're still in. And you got to like Hamilton's chances against Edmonton. Hamilton's been playing rock solid football, man. It's our best team in the CFL right now.
Yeah, so it is pretty simple. One Lions loss, one Eskimos win, and the Lions will be eliminated from the Grey Cup dance. But now before you can see defeat, the Eskimos aren't playing their best football right now. Trevor Harris is injured. He's on the sixth game. I don't know if he'll stay on there for the rest of the season. I highly doubt it. They're trying to save some cap room, I guess. And they have a tough schedule. They're in Hamilton this week, where the Ticats are undefeated this season and playing good football, as Mojo said. Following that, they play the Lions at home before a back-to-back with the Riders to close out the season. So next week could be a really big game with the Lions visiting Edmonton. And the way that the Lions have been smacked around by Edmonton, you would hope that they would go in there with some pride and something to play for and put a little fear into the Eskimos in the rearview mirror there. The Lions have the Argos at home this week, Edmonton on the road, and then have Saskatchewan and Calgary at home to close out the season. So there is some hope here, but with Saskatchewan and Calgary both in the hunt to win the West, those will be tough games as well.
Well, Brian, this is a big app. If we were to win the Grey Cup, we're going to have to beat Saskatchewan and Calgary, one of those teams anyway. So we might as well beat them both in the regular season here to let them know that, things have changed. Things have changed for the BC Lions. But, it's a pretty far long shot. So what do you think is more likely, Brian, that the Eskimos go winless for the rest of the way or that we win out? Which is more likely?
I think it's more likely that the Eskimos go winless. They're not playing great football right now, and who knows how long Trevor Harris is going to be out. I think their best chance to eliminate us is next week when we visit Commonwealth Stadium. And if they lose that one, I think the noose is going to get a little tight around their necks there. So, it'll give the Lions a big boost as well. So the last three wins, two were against Ottawa, who is horrible right now. Last week, Montreal came to town with Vernon Adams suspended. This week they get Toronto, who can't decide what quarterback to use, and they have their own issues. They've had their own issues all season. You would think that this should be another win, especially at home. The Alouettes put up a good fight last week. The Lions had to work hard for that win. Mike Riley was under the weather, but had a solid game, going 30 for 34 and throwing for 309 yards, a TD, and one interception. The Alouettes sacked Riley twice, while the Lions got to Montreal's QB four times, including two by our guest tonight, Sean Lemon, who now has eight sacks and a forced fumble since returning to the Lions. He was named the defensive player of the game for the second straight week. We talked about it last week on the show, but his arrival has coincided with the improved play of the whole defense, and I really look forward to talking with him tonight, Mojo.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And, the results are undeniable, Brian. This guy improves the defense. So, Ed Herbie's got to find a way to keep him. We said this last year, and we're saying it again this year. So hopefully this year he gets to hang out. And, going 30 for 34, man, that's great. And you don't always realize it when you're sitting in the stands. Sometimes you don't realize what a guy's stats is because you're talking to your buddy, you run up to get a beer or whatever. 30 for 40, man, only missing four passes. That's a pretty good game. And even though he got sacked twice, you got it. We crushed the O-line when they weren't playing so well. So now we got to lift them up, man. And they're playing great. They are playing great football right now.
With the game on the line, the Lions came up big with that goal line stand, aided by a fumble after Kahari Jones decided to go for it on third and short from the two. He took a lot of heat for that decision, but I think he made the right call, Mojo, because the Lions were having issues stopping the Alouettes running game all night long. Bad luck on their part, good fortune for the Lions, I guess. But, there was still, a minute and 30 left on the clock when they had to decide whether to kick that field goal or go for it from the 2-yard line. And, I think that's a lot of time for the Lions to come down. They would have only been up by one point if they kicked the field goal. So I think Kari Jones made the right call, just some bad luck for the Alouettes there.
Yeah, I think it was the right call. I mean, this is the CFL, and fans, we all know that in minute 34, that may be over in NFL, but in CFL, you can get three more possessions in that time. And how many times, Brian, in all games in the CFL, has the team been up by 1 point with a minute and a half to go, only to lose the game? I bet you, I don't know what the percentage is, but I bet you it's pretty high.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I think this probably speaks more to not a bad play call, because I don't think it was a bad play call either. They were running all over us. I think the issue sometimes can come out to putting a guy who's cold into a high-pressure play.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it was Pipkin that was in on that play, and obviously the handoff wasn't clean. So, yeah, you know, you got to wonder if they would have been better off just sneaking it up the middle with the quarterback. But, hey, hindsight's 20/20, and we'll take it. We're still in the playoff hunt. So thank you, Kahari Jones, and thank you, Antonio Pipkin. If there's one area the Lions do have to worry about it, we touched on it, and it's the defensive line and their run-stopping defense. Moving Odell Willis inside has had some positives, but there were also gaping holes for William Stanback to run through last week, and he did so to the tune of 147 yards. You can bet Toronto has noticed that and will be attacking this weakness this week. Jonathan Newsome has been effective as well in the pass rush, but the Lions are a little bit undersized with this configuration, Mojo, and that's a concern.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know what can you do, man? You know, you don't got the horses now. They're not coming. And so we got to do what we got to do. And, you know, it's not just the defensive line in the running game, right? The linebackers got to step up a little bit as well and realize, you know, we need to be more effective in the run game.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you had to take your pick about no pressure on the quarterback or allowing a little extra run yardage, I think you would go with the pressure on the quarterback, because that's certainly help the secondary and other parts of the defense as well. So whatever is working, you know, they've won three in a row, so who are we to question it? But it is a concern. You know, one thing that we can point out that's a bit of a concern right now. Heading into this week, Brian Burnham is the league's leader in reception yards, and it can't be understated what he means to this team. We talked about it last show as well. There's going to be many changes again this offseason, so it's nice to know Burnham is signed up through next season. He's been the one bright light on this team all season, and he continued his stellar performance last week, and we expect him to do so again on Saturday.
Awesome player, awesome guy. We met him at the town hall there, talked to him. He had all day for us, and just he seems like a really, really good guy, Brian. And, you know, it's good to see a good guy doing great stuff on the field. You got to know he's been frustrated at points this year as well, right? But the guy's a professional. He just keeps coming out. And from everything you see, everything you hear, he just works hard and he plays hard. And he's a great player, man. He is a great player. Hopefully he doesn't bolt to any other leagues and we get to keep him for a few more years.
Yeah, well, he signed through next year, and hopefully a few more years beyond that as well. In contrast to that, you know, despite his better play of late, Daron Carter simply can't be pulling stunts like he did last week, losing his cool on a critical drive that took the Lions out of a makeable field goal situation, and Castillo's eventual attempt was blocked after the penalty. Not only did he take the penalty, but he kept his antics up afterwards and had to be restrained by teammates. You know, for the most part, we've defended Daron this season, and he's been a good teammate according to all that are close to the team. But that was selfish and very well could have resulted in the Lions being eliminated from the playoffs last week.
Yeah, it could have. And, you know, we all know what you sign Daron, you get Daron. No matter how good his behavior is going to be, there's going to be some moments. However, you know what, Brian, what angers me even more than that is I had from a good source, She Lion, that he was going to come over to Section 210 at the end of the game. You look over, we had a pretty nice Carter Country sign hanging in front of our section, and he promised to come over, and he didn't. And that's, you know, I'll defend him for a long time, man, but don't stand up Section 210, bro. Come on, we got a couple more games. Just come over and say hello to the folks, and they will love you.
But, you know, at the same time, you got to be smarter than that, especially in the situation the Lions are in. You can't be putting the whole team in jeopardy like that. And that was pretty bad in my eyes, and I was pretty pissed off, for lack of a better word, when he was pulling those antics. So be better, Duran. Be better. We need you, and you're playing better. You can act a little better on the field as well. Last show, we talked about Brandon Rutley and how he had filled in nicely for John White and had really taken charge of that role, but White was deemed healthy again and has stepped in the last couple of games without missing a beat. The offensive line has continued its improvement under Kelly Bates, and you have to wonder what could have been this year with just a couple more wins earlier on, and maybe you know, if Kelly Bates had gotten here a little earlier. It's really unfortunate to see you know, how these guys are playing now versus how they were playing earlier in the season. But you know, kudos to Kelly Bates for his continued good work there, and you know, we'll see what happens over here in the next couple weeks. But there's no doubt the offensive line has really stepped up the play, and that helps the running game and helps the passing game, and we're seeing the Lions offense you know, resemble something more of what we thought they were going to be you know, earlier on this year.
Yeah, well, I don't have to wonder what could have been this year, Brian. Two games earlier, we'd be in the playoffs, man. I don't need to wonder about that. I can see that happening with the way these guys are playing now. I mean, I don't, not being there, of course, I don't understand how one coach can make that big of a difference. But, hey, results are right there. Just like bringing Sean Lemon back to the defense, our defense gets better. Bring Kelly Bates back in and teach it a different way. And look at the results, man. I don't need to wonder. We'd be in the playoffs right now. We'd be talking playoffs.
Yeah, and you look at some of those earlier games. The one in Calgary really comes to mind where they had that big lead in the fourth quarter and blew it. You know, they had some other games that they were in that could have won. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that things went so bad for the first, you know, two-thirds of the season here. So, you know, hey, at least we're seeing some improvement. And that's what we hoped for a couple weeks ago when things were still looking bleak. We just wanted to see some improvement, and we're starting to see that now. I also wanted to chat about Jamal Lyles, who came off the practice roster a couple of games ago and is seeing mainly special teams duties. But he had some nice carries late in the Ottawa game and a solid kick return against the Alouettes. This is a local kid, and you look at him on the sidelines, and you can just tell he really loves to play this game, and he wants to be successful. And I don't know, man. We may have the next Andrew Harris on our hands here.
Yeah, well, you had me up until the end there. You know what? Yeah, Brian, he played great, and we need, you know, we need some of that. We need some of that local flair, man. We need to get folks interested. And good on him. And we all know that mostly you make your way up through the team. So have great special teams, have great returns, and you'll get the rock. You will get onto the field eventually, and we all know what can happen.
Yeah, and you got a couple guys that have been around here for a while now, so his time could be coming. Yeah, like I say, it just looks like he just loves to play football, and looking forward to see what he does in the future.
Well, you know, Brian, sorry, man, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, while we're talking local guys, you know, my boy Katoy, another solid game, man. He ran over some dudes.
Yeah, it looks like he might have pulled a hamstring. I haven't heard a status update on him, but he was limping in the fourth quarter there in front of me on the sidelines there, so I'm not sure if he's going to be in the lineup this week, but hopefully he is, because yeah, I agree, he's really coming into his own, and he's contributing to the offense now. So not that he wasn't before, he was just doing it in different ways with blocking and things like that, but you can really see this kid's talent, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future. A couple things I want to talk about before we get to our interview with Sean Lemon. This week is Pure Later Tackle Hunger Week for the BC Lions, and fans will be asked to bring non-perishable food items to BC Place or make a monetary donation to help food shelters in the Lower Mainland. And Mojo, this is an event where I think fans need to do a better job, because every year we have the lowest total of all the teams in the CFL. And I'm not talking by a little, I'm talking by a lot. I think we are averaging around, you know, 20,000 pounds or something of food when, you know, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, they're all bringing over 200,000 pounds of food to their games. Please remember to bring some food for the food banks this year, because, you know, there's a lot of people in our communities that need that help.
Yeah, nobody should have to go hungry. So, folks, get out there and do what you can. I know it's tough, man. It's tough living out here, but we can do better.
And Thanksgiving's coming up, so you might help out a family with some food for Thanksgiving as well. So let's just do better, folks, and try and donate to the cause. I also want to talk about a couple of events that are coming up at Grey Cup in Calgary. And the first one I've been involved with for several years now, and it's the CFL Fans Fight Cancer event, which this year will be held on Saturday, November 23rd, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Melrose Cafe and Bar in Calgary. CFL Fans Fights Cancer is a grassroots group of community-minded Canadian Football League fans who want to support the fight against cancer. Established in 2005, CFL Fans Fight Cancer started as a direct result of Hamilton Tiger Cats coach Ron Lancaster's cancer diagnosis. Everyone involved with the CFL FFC volunteers their time to raise awareness of cancer. The annual Grey Cup meet and greet is the CFL FFC's largest event. Fans from across the nation gather together for an afternoon of prizing, entertainment, and socializing. All funds that are raised are donated to a local cancer charity. These charities offer direct and most often free support to people and their families affected by cancer since 2005. And this is impressive, Mojo. I didn't even realize this myself. I'm involved with the organization. CFL Fans Fight Cancer has raised over $75,000 since 2005 in charitable donations to these organizations. So if you're heading to Grey Cup or you want more information, or if you have prizes that you can donate to the event, you can send an email to me at brian@bclionsden.ca or hit me up on Twitter @bclionsden, and I can help you direct those to the right person who's organizing the event in Calgary this year. But Mojo, I know this is probably near and dear to your heart as well. This is a great event, and hopefully if anybody's coming to Grey Cup, they come and support it.
Yeah, Brian, you took the words right out of my mouth. This is very important to me and kids. Uncle Mojo is going to say a bad word here, not safe for work moment, but you know, anything we can do to get rid of this fucking disease, Brian, I am supporting. So get out there, folks, and thank you so much for all the work that you guys do. And Brian, you too, man. You do a lot of work for CFL Fans Fight Cancer. So kudos to you and everybody involved. And you know, let's get that number up there. Let's break 100,000 this year.
Yeah, it's really is a group effort from across the country, and you know, it's been a real pleasure to be involved with this crew. They're very passionate about it, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. And I think this one's going to be the biggest one yet. The second event I want to talk about is tied into the first one, and that's the Two and Out Live Show being put on by our friends Travis Carra and Brazilian Ty over at the Two and Out CFL Podcast, our friends in the Canadian Football Podcast Network. This event takes place at Booker's Barbecue Grill and Crab Shack in Calgary on Thursday, November 21st. Last year was the first time for the event, and a donation from the event is made to CFL Fans Fight Cancer. Travis and Ty have a great show, and it's fun to be there live and watch them do it. Last year, Zach Evans of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders took on Travis in a pierogi eating contest and lost. And I believe they have a rematch set up for this year with brisket being the food item of choice. Tickets for the event are getting close to being sold out if they're not already. So head over to 2andout.ca for all the details on that. And Ty and Travis are great guys, and it'll be a really fun afternoon. And right after that, you can head over to the Spirit of Edmonton and kick off your Grey Cup week.
Man, sounds like a good time. You know, Two and Out podcast, great show, great guys. You know, Brian, just one of a list of great podcasts in the Canadian Football Podcast Network. And just like, you know, just like the players are cool to talk to and cool to meet, a lot of these podcasters are cool to meet and talk to as well. And get out there, folks, and have a good time, man. I wish I was coming. Brian, the last time I was in Calgary for Grey Cup, it was off the charts, man. It was crazy. It was what hooked me into Grey Cups.
Yeah, you know, the Prairie Grey Cups are awesome because that's where the heart of the CFL is. And Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, all those places put on good events. So, yeah, for sure. And all the podcasters will likely be at this event. So make sure to stop by and check it out if you can. As we mentioned earlier in the show, our next guest returned to the Lions in August via a trade with the Toronto Argonauts, and in the six games he's played since then has recorded 8 sacks and a forced fumble, while the overall play of the defense has improved as well. It's our pleasure to welcome BC Lions defensive lineman Sean Lemon to the show. Sean, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I guess the first thing we should do is welcome you back to BC and say that Lions fans are happy that you're here, because there's been a noticeable improvement, especially getting after the quarterback since you arrived. How does it feel to be back in BC?
Man, it's good to be back. I'm excited to be back here in BC. Like I said, man, I should have been here from day one, but, you know, things happen for a reason. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, you, of course, were with the Lions last season in a similar type of situation, and the team did not re-sign you this offseason. So when you talked to Ed Hervey, when you learned about the trade this time around, did you give him a bit of a hard time?
Oh, no, man. Me and Ed, we consider ourselves family. I've known Ed since 2012. So, you know, he's a guy that I trust and I keep in contact with, whether I'm playing for him or not. As far as, like, we talk about life outside of football, and he's always, you know, been an influential guy in my life. So, yeah.
What were your initial thoughts when you heard the Lions had traded to bring you back to BC?
I was very surprised, you know, surprised just by knowing that, you know, hearing the things that, you know, Toronto said that was going to happen with me staying there this time. But everything happens for a reason, though.
Hey, Sean, while we're on the topic, I mean, you've made a lot of stops around the CFL, and you've produced everywhere you've gone. How come so many stops? Are you just a rambling man? You like to change your looks around?
No. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't like all the stops. You know, hopefully this is the final stop, you know. So everything happens for a reason, man. My whole life, I've always been underestimated as far as my skill set. And I just try to control the things that I control. And that's my production when I get to these places. So I just try to, you know, produce and as much as I can wherever I go.
Let's step back a bit, Sean. You come from Charleston, South Carolina. And you were a football player, a basketball player. You did track at Westlake High School. Let's face it, man, you have a knack for getting to the quarterback. You broke a school record with 21 sacks in one season. When did you know football was something that you wanted to do for a living? And who were you some of your early mentors?
Just, you know, my parents, my brothers, three of my brothers play football. So I kind of, you know, as a kid, I would always play football with them. And then when I started playing football with people, students and stuff my age, it came down much easier for me because I was getting beat up by my brothers for so long. And, you know, I've realized that, you know, I play basketball and all those different sports. And I realized after the 10th grade that, you know, I've always, anybody who knows me knows that I love basketball more than I love football. But I realized I wasn't going to be any taller than what I am. So I should probably stick with football. And, you know, football just came easy to me. You know what I mean? And I just ran with it from there. Just, you know, always practicing and stuff with my brothers. I've played football since I was 5 years old and never missed a year since I was five. So it just became easy for me, so I just kind of stick with it.
Sean, what do you need to be an effective pass rusher in this league? The CFL is a little different as being as far as being 1 yard off the ball at the line of scrimmage. Is that an advantage for you or the offensive lineman?
It is. I mean, for me, because I have, you know, just got to be quick, have fast twitch muscles, close the distance to the offensive tackle, and have three or four moves that you're really good at instead of having 8 to 10 moves that you are average that you think you're good at. You know what I mean? So just try to use that to your advantage and, you know, getting a good defense, a system that allows you to use those things to your advantage.
Is that something that you found here in BC, like Toronto wasn't using you properly this year and Lions are giving you a little
Yeah, more? I mean, the proof is, you know, the proof is kind of in the pudding with that. You know what I mean? Kind of answers itself. Mm-hmm. I've been with Coach Stubler, Coach Clay Brooks. Every year I play for those guys, I've had double-digit sacks. So every year I play for those guys, I've been nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. So it's kind of, you know, just kind of work out that way, I guess. You got to play with guys that you trust and understand you and know your strengths and your flaws, and they try to utilize you the best way to help the team as well as yourself.
Your football journey has been a long one. You played in the CFL, the AFL, the IFL. You've had some looks in the NFL. With the XFL starting next year, as a player from the United States, do you think it will have a big impact on the CFL's ability to recruit players south of the border?
Yes, it will. I think it will, most definitely. But like I said, man, the CFL has been through a lot of different leagues coming and going. And the CFL still holds strong. And, you know, I don't think it'll hurt the brand of football because, you know, we have a pretty good brand of football in the CFL right now. But, you know, I'm rooting for the XFL to work out because, you know, when I was younger, they didn't have all these opportunities that, you know, all these players have now. So the more opportunities, the more jobs you can have, man, that's always good for our profession.
What's your contract situation like? Is your contract up at the end of the year, and is the XFL something you would consider?
Oh, yes, contract's up at the end of the year. XFL is something I won't consider. Okay. I'm happy where I am in Canada. I'm happy playing football in Canada.
Good stuff.
Well, we're happy that you're here, Sean. But you mentioned playing for Coach Claybrooks before, and he's had a little bit of a tough go in his first year as a head coach. And Brian and I are on record as saying that no matter what happens for the rest of the year, we think he deserves to be back for next year. As someone that plays for him, can you tell us, the fans, what he brings to the table as a head coach?
Man, Coach Claybrooks is amazing guy as far as he understands, how to attack teams. He understands he's been around Coach Huffnagel. He learned from a lot of good coaches. He's been around Bill Parcells. He actually played football at a high level, won a Super Bowl. And, he understands what it takes to be successful. And he can relate to players well. Man, I can't say enough good things about Coach Claybrooks. He's, like I said, he's a good buddy of mine, a good friend, always been a mentor to me. It's all everything I've battled in my career. So, I stand behind everything that he's preaching as far as in the coaching ranks, man. And like I said, man, his message is starting to, it takes a time, a transition when new coaching staff comes in. It's easy for me to come in and have success because I already know these guys. I already believe in these guys. I already played. I already won a Grey Cup with these guys. So it takes that little initiating stance as far as, players buy it in. So, okay, these guys really know what they're talking about. And, we can mesh with the defense. The more reps you get, the more practice you get at it. And like I said, we're starting finally just seeing just a glimpse of, how good this system is and, how good Coach Claybrooks is as a coach and the staff that we have.
Any thoughts to wearing your hat a little off center?
No, I'll leave that. I'm not really a huge hat guy. I like to show my waves and my hair cut off, so I'm not really a huge. I'll leave that to him.
Hey, after last game, Sean, you're sitting at 70 sacks for your career. And a couple games ago, we saw Odell Willis get to his 100th sack. What are you aiming? Obviously, you're aiming to join the Century Club, but what's it like to see your teammate reach such a milestone?
I mean, I'm so happy for him. I understand the work he puts in for it. Last year was something we always talked about, like he's getting closer and closer to it. And I'm just, thankful to be able to have an opportunity to be back on the field and share the field with him when he reached that, because I know how important it was for him. And like I said, man, he's another guy in this league that's very misunderstood, been around a lot of different places like myself has. And, man, he's one of the best teammates and best guys I've been around and, since I've been playing professional football. So he's always helpful to guys, man. I'm just happy to see that the hard work pays off.
If you could jump in a time machine and you could go talk to rookie Sean Lemon, what would you tell him now?
I wouldn't change anything, actually, man. I learned from every lesson and every opportunity that I've been in, man. And, I'm very proud of, the rookie, the young guy, Sean Lemon, I've dealt with this my whole life. Everywhere I've been, high school, little league, I've always had to prove guys that, this guy can't play football. So there I am in year 8, 9 right now, still doing the same thing. So, and I couldn't be proud of the work that rookie Sean Lemon put in to get where veteran Sean Lemon is right now.
Okay, last one for me, Sean. Who's the toughest offensive lineman you've gone up against?
Stanley Bryant from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Sean, every player's football career comes to an end at some point. What would you like to be doing after your career is done? Do you have any goals outside of the game, or do you see yourself staying involved in football at all?
I see myself being involved in football or, some type of analyst somewhere, because I graduated a communications degree, a broadcasting degree. So, some type of NFL analyst, CFL analyst, or maybe get into some general manager stuff, try to get into scouting department of football and something with football, man. I've been around football my whole life. I love the game of football. I also do things outside of football as far as like real estate stuff, so I would still do that as well.
Now, last question for you, Sean. You've been around the league for a long time now, and you've seen the ups and downs that this league has gone through. In BC, the fans, the fan attendance is dwindling a little bit. As a player, what kind of ideas would you like to see the CFL implement to get more fans in the stadium?
I would like to see more of a guaranteed contracts for players, because you know the turnover rates for fans with players is pretty bad. So they fall in love with these guys that go to a different team. So if we can fix that contract stuff with players having guaranteed contracts, they're out there cut right before bonuses, man. Team, the players will be willing to stick around with these teams, and you know fans can fall in love with these guys a little bit longer than normal. You never know when a guy's gonna go to a new team, get traded, released, go to a new team. I think that'll help the tennis out as well. It all ties in together, man. It's not just one thing, another thing. It's a little bit more commitment to the players and, you know, fans that I've been here and I've, been cheering for a guy for 5-6 years. Now he's going somewhere else, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, Sean, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. We wish you continued success personally, and hopefully this team can find a way into the playoffs. Thanks for your time tonight, and here's to many more lemon drops this season.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, Mojo, great to chat with Sean Lemon. There's no denying he's made a big difference to the BC Lions defense this year.
No, things have definitely turned around since he's been back. Who knew he was what we needed? And he sort of did the same thing last year, faulty memory sort of works. You know, Brian, we hoped last year that he would stick around for this year. It's great that we got him back. And I know we've doing a lot of broken record stuff this year, but I'm going to say it again, man. I hope Sean Lemon's back next year. We heard him say that his contract is up at the end of the year. And I for one, I hope he's back. And, you know, when he answered the how do you get the fans back into the seats, where, you know, I never really thought about it from that perspective about, the player movement. There's lots of player movement. And it seems like if you want to buy a number and a name on a jersey, it's pretty much got to be a retired guy to make the jersey usable year after year.
Yeah, for a few years. That's, I used to buy Hebler jerseys because he was my favorite player as a kid. And, kind of pays homage to that. And he is right. I mean, there's so much turnover in this league. It's hard for fans to get, identify with any of the players. So I don't think we'll ever see guaranteed contracts in football. I think that's, the salary cap's not big enough to allow for that. And teams would find themselves in big trouble in no time if that happened. But there's something to be said for that point that there's a lot of player turnover, and that certainly a contributing factor as well. And I think we need to promote the players better. I think promote them in the communities, but then again, like he says, if they're only here for a year or two, then, how far does that promotion go? But, good stuff from him. It sounds like he's enjoying his time back here in BC and he wants to be back. So hopefully Ed Hervey can find the room to keep him around this time, and because he certainly made a difference on the defense.
Wait, he's got to, man. I mean, he did it last year. He did it this year. We got to keep this guy. And let's face it, there's probably some money in maybe the receiving squad that could get freed up.
So before the game on Saturday, we will know if the Lions are still alive, and we'll hope the Ticats can take care of the Eskimos on Friday night to make that a possibility. Final thoughts, Mojo?
I thought we were out of the playoffs at the start of last game, and who knew we were still in it? Well, obviously somebody did. I still, it's going to be pretty fleeting, Brian. But hey, if there's a chance, there's a chance. And you know what? I actually had fun at the last game, and it was good to have fun at the game. And this week, we're primed to have another fun game.
Did you fill out your survey?
I haven't yet, but I will. I will. And it'd be nice to give them something better than a one.
Yeah, you got a lot of screen time last game too, so that probably made it a little funner for you.
I got to admit, I do, Brian, love the screen time.
Well, that's it for episode 142. I want to thank our guest, Sean Lemon, for joining us tonight, as well as the BC Lions for helping to make that happen. Thanks to our sponsor, Metal Rocks. Make sure to visit bclionsden.ca. Click the link to their site and see all the awesome handcrafted jewelry that they have to offer. This show is part of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. Make sure to check all the great shows that are part of it at cfpodnetwork.ca and follow the network on Twitter at CF Pod Network. Please subscribe and listen to the show on your favorite podcast app. Visit us at bclionsden.ca. Follow us on Twitter at bclionsden and at mojokemp. And on Instagram at bclionsden_podcast. And that's podcast, P-A-W-D-C-A-S-T. Till next week, I'm Brian Walrish. And on behalf of Mojo Kemp, enjoy the games this weekend. And as always, roar, you Lions, roar.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.